Audience in the country, I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. This Friday, a reporter from the Wall Street Journal will be out here in Denver to talk to some of my radical friends. And in a few minutes, I'll let you talk to one of our radical friends so you can get to her before the reporter does. If you'd like to call into the show about any topic, our number 1-800-8-ENYARD, 1-800-836-9278. And Doug McBurney's not sitting in tonight. He was here last night. He had some business for tonight. But first, Saddam Hussein continues to call for oil embargoes against the U.S. and Israel. So he wants the Arab world to cut off oil shipments to America and to the Jews. And he's also called for a cut in oil production of 55%, over a half. Now, that's rather redundant, isn't it? I mean, if they cut us off, they have no choice but to cut production because we use most of the world's oil. And, of course, sadly, the Arab world has been, I think, well known for cutting off its nose to spite its face. And, yes, America needs Arab oil. But guess what? And even way more than back in 1973 when, what was oil a barrel back then? $2 a barrel? Saudi Arabia was just furious at the low price. So anyway, they started the oil embargo. And they had a lot more oil reserves back then in Saudi Arabia, and there was a lot more wealth in their country. But Russia's come online. They've stepped up production. And now Russia is catching up to Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil exporter and with increased production. And so anyway, Saudi Arabia doesn't have quite as much money, not nearly per capita as it used to have. There's increasing economic difficulty by the mass of people in Saudi Arabia. And really, we need Arab oil, but they need our money desperately. And I would actually like it if the Arab world took a stab at cutting us off using oil as a weapon, because hopefully that would put more sense in our government to realize that oil could be used as a weapon of war and to dramatically increase exploration and drilling, and not only in the Arctic, in Alaska, offshore. Just open it up. Turn the spigot full force, and just let's have, almost the way Kennedy said, let's go to the moon by the end of the decade. Let's rid ourselves of our dependence on Arab oil by the end of the decade. Wouldn't that be, that'd be a cool national goal? And if we took it on as a national war effort, we very possibly might be able to pull it off. I mean, There is fuel in the ocean that we have not yet begun to tap, that only in the last few years it's being explored how to tap this fuel that's frozen in ice, but it's not water ice. And it turns out that we're going to be able to tap this stuff, and it's 1,000 times more energy available in the oceans in this new form of energy than exists in petroleum in the world. So it's going to be good for us, I think, even if it makes us a little tight, if the Arab world went ahead and did this. But I don't think they'll do it. Okay. Oh, and now George W. Bush today. What did he tell the Arab world today? Well, he said, we will not allow Israel to be crushed. And the Associated Press describes it as an unequivocal statement. Now, you know, if someone's equivocating, that means, well, you can't really tell what they're saying. They're sort of saying both things at the same time. And the Associated Press reported that Bush made an unequivocal statement to the Arab world, we will not allow Israel to be crushed. Oh, and how I wish they were right. But if the Associated Press said it, you have to double check. So all you have to do is read the next sentence in the same article. And the next sentence quotes Bush bluntly telling Israel, it's now time to quit it altogether. Now, that's called equivocating. And the sad thing is, it's one thing to equivocate on how much money you're going to spend on highway construction for the next year. You're talking to the highway lobby. They want more roads. Maybe you give it the best face you can put on what you want to spend. And you're talking to the budget director, and you give it like just the worst face you could put on how much more you're going to spend. But when you're talking about fighting terrorism, murderers who kill innocent people, you should never, ever, ever equivocate when it comes to moral issues. Compromise, that's what politicians worship, is compromise. But you never, ever compromise on morality. Ever, never. If you compromise on morality, you're sinning. Does Jesus, you know, today, even Christians, they elevate compromise as though it's the loftiest goal. You read through the Bible, does Jesus compromise? Does he say, well, call the Pharisees in and let's see if we can meet halfway? Go talk to Herod and tell him, this is my plan, what is your plan, and let's see if we can find a middle ground. How about the Old Testament prophets? Were they good at compromising? All right, now, the Wall Street Journal is sending a reporter to Denver this weekend to go to our local Planned Parenthood abortion mill, and they want to look at some of the more aggressive pro-lifers in the country. So they've come to a good city, and I've got one of the nationally known pro-lifers here in the studio with me, Joe Scott. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's really good to have you in studio. Joe, I asked you to come tonight because of the event that happened at Planned Parenthood. It was just this past Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'd like to describe what happened with this guy. He looks like he's a member of Hell's Angels, but I don't think he is, right? He's just a big, tough guy.
Right.
And he got irate, and he knocked down a pro-lifer there named Paul. Now, I don't know. I'm not sure how old Paul is.
79.
He's 79? 79.
Yeah.
And this guy, do you know how old this...
He's 39.
This biker guy is?
39.
So he knocked down Paul. He pulled a knife. He threatened a few people. He was arrested. I want to briefly tell that story, then have you fill in the gaps and bring us up to date because it's getting more interesting. But pro-lifers all around the country go to abortion mills on Saturday mornings. That's when they do a lot of abortions, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And here in Denver, how many days a week are pro-lifers there?
Five.
5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Every day they're killing at Planned Parenthood.
We're there.
There are Christians there to try mm-hmm. to intervene and save a baby and save
right.
a mother from becoming a murderer. Any children saved in the past week or two?
Yeah, two. We have 31 so far this year.
31 this year. Okay, after the break, we'll give you quite an update.
We all know Bob Inyart is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive four sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is The Weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or The Weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We're back. Bob and Yart live with Joe Scott in studio. Joe is a pro-lifer known around the country and especially here in Denver. We're thrilled that Joe and her husband, Ken, live in Denver because they're part of the backbone of the pro-life movement here. And Joe, if I could describe it real quick, what happened on Saturday, you could fill us in, and then I want the audience to come up to date because it's getting more interesting. Since 1967, there have been Christians at Planned Parenthood here in Denver because that's when abortion started in the U.S., right? Legalized
right.
abortion and just...
Yesterday was the anniversary.
Yesterday was, right, the anniversary. And so, and I think what happened on Saturday, even though this has been going on now for 30 years, these protests, this is the most dangerous thing that I think has ever happened there. And I've been going there since the late 80s on a somewhat regular basis. There have been Christians there. It used to be once a week. Now, every day they're open for more than 10 years. Every day, there are Christians there trying to save babies. And you guys have saved how many? You said 31?
31 so far this year.
This year.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Saturday, some guy, big guy, ugly-looking guy, to tell you the truth. Well, maybe we'll scan his picture, his mugshot. And thanks for bringing his mugshot in. And put it on KGOV with this program. But he gets out of the car, and the pro-lifers are all there saying, don't do this. He brought a young woman to get an abortion?
Actually, a woman brought a young woman and a young boy and brought them into the clinic, left them there, and she left angry and brought two men back.
Oh.
That's what actually happened.
And so he's one of the two men who
right.
came back.
Right. And now, they just jumped out of the car and made a beeline for us.
And because the pro-lifers are saying, don't let it, you know, don't let her kill her baby. Go in there, get her out, save
exactly.
the baby. Don't murder the baby. This will ruin your life.
We can help you.
We can help you.
Uh-huh.
And so this guy didn't like it. So he made a beeline toward the pro-lifers.
Right.
Started yelling and cussing
threatening.
I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you did say something funny about when he'd say, I'm going to kill you.
He kept saying that, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to get my friends, I'm going to kill, they're going to help kill you, all of us are going to kill you. And every time he would say kill, his teeth would fall out of his mouth.
Because he has false teeth.
And it was funny, because right. how do you take somebody threatening you seriously?
Yeah, right. Although he did eventually go to his car and pull out a knife.
Yes, he did.
Right, so he was a threat.
Yes, he was.
And poor Paul, who's 79 years old, this big 39-year-old guy shoved Paul, knocked him down, and Paul got a bloody knee. Is that right?
Yeah. First, though, Paul had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He was across the parking lot on the other side of the fence, and he has this little chair he carries with him so he can get up above the fence.
So he can look over the fence.
Right. He stands up above the fence, and this guy comes at him with a knife saying, do you want to die? And Paul's like, whoa.
And Paul said, no.
No.
And because he didn't.
He tried three times to get Paul. Paul managed to get out of the way.
In other words, he took swipes at Paul.
Right.
And knocked him down.
No. Okay. He didn't knock Paul down then. Paul got off the chair because mm-hmm. the guy decided he saw a gate in the fence, and he went through the gate after Paul. Paul got off the chair, and he went after Paul. That's when Paul hit the ground. He threw Paul on the ground.
Okay. He throws Paul on the ground. Then some of our guys, who are a bit large, your husband, Jason Troyer, go running around
and you. Yeah.
You're not as big as those guys,
no.
But numbers help.
Right.
And to protect Paul, and this big guy is saying, he attacked me with his chair. And Paul, we should put Paul's picture on the website too.
You should.
Let's do that. Let's scan Paul's picture in. And so, yeah, right, 79-year-old Paul attacked this guy who had a knife.
Paul
right?
said, I picked it up like a lion tamer to keep him away from me.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay, so anyway, so then this guy tosses his knife into his car and takes off down the alley.
Right.
And your husband, Ken Scott, and Jason Troyer are going after him because a number of people call 911 immediately. And the police are on their way, and they want him arrested.
Exactly.
So as they're they're walking behind this guy.
Right.
I imagine your husband doesn't keep silent.
My husband?
Yeah.
Bob.
He would never keep silent.
No. He witnessed to this guy the whole way. He told him about the Lord.
Told him. For how long did they follow him?
A little over 8 blocks.
About eight blocks. They're following this guy. So the police, he can't lose the police.
Right.
Even though his car is probably in the parking lot knife.
It was not
somebody
his
else's car.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, the police come. Eventually, I heard one ambulance and about 8 cop cars total, something like that.
Right.
And they arrest this guy, bring him to jail. And then the sad part was, you know, Planned Parenthood all over the country, not just in Denver, but Planned Parenthood, these abortion mills, they put on their board of directors, the wives of judges, city council members, district attorneys. They're pretty swift. So you got a district judge, and they'll hire his wife and pay her a nice salary to not do much.
That's right.
They do that all over the country, and they've done it here for years. Well, anyway, this guy's case comes up before, the DA, something.
Yeah, it goes before the DA.
And they let him out of jail without a bond, and they reduce his charge from assault to threat.
A felony assault on the elderly.
A felony assault on the elderly. Poor Paul is 79 years old.
Right.
They reduce it to threats.
Right.
To a threat, which is a misdemeanor, and they let him go.
Right.
So that irritates us because that kind of thing always happens to pro-lifers. But we don't take it laying down like Paul. So you guys fought back. So bring us up to date from there. What's happened?
Well, a detective, Brian Kelly in Denver, called us, and he called each one of us. He wanted to know what happened. We told him, and each one of us, he told that it was no longer a felony. He dropped the charges to threats, and of course, each one of us had our own form of exasperation that we kind of took out on him.
Yeah.
I said, "You're going to leave us out there alone? This guy's threatening to come back. He's already been there with a knife, and he went after an elderly man, trying to kill him." Paul is hurt. I mean, he can't use his right arm, and he's limping on both legs.
Yeah, when you're 79 years old and you get thrown to the ground,
it hurts.
That's pretty serious.
Right. So Brian Kelly went out to the abortion clinic on Wednesday and viewed the videos of what happened that Planned Parenthood has. They have the cameras stationed.
Their videos have often helped us out.
Yes.
Because the video tells the truth, and often it's helped keep us from being convicted.
Incarcerated.
Or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, he viewed their videos. The ones mounted on the poles and all.
Yes.
With the signs about audio and video monitoring in progress.
Your conversations being monitored.
Or being recorded. Okay.
Okay, so he goes down to the district attorney and he gets the original charges reinstated. At that time, Paul was already down wherever it was that Brian went to get the charges reinstated. And he calls Paul aside. He said, "Mr. Schaefer, can I talk to you for a minute?" He calls him aside and tells him, "Look, Mr. Schaefer, we're going to reinstate the charges.
The
felony assault on the elderly." He said, "I saw the video.
Christopher Smith, right?
Right.
Christopher Smith.
He's a resident of Denver, born in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tattoo artist.
Oh, good.
White
male, tattooed right arm, brown hair, blue eyes. 300 pounds.
He's got both arms tattooed, but
all right.
Anyway, he has false teeth. That's not on there.
No.
So,
right.
So he explained to Paul that he'd seen the knife in the video, and so he got the.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and he saw him throw it back in the truck.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
on the video. Planned Parenthood, I'll tell you, they take good video.
Yeah, they do. Sometimes
that's one thing they do.
Yeah,
they Okay, go ahead. So
since then, now he told Paul, we're going right now. We're going to have him arrested. Well, guess what, Bob?
He's missing.
He's missing.
Yeah, but still, if they reinstated felony charges, that's just great.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's really good. And so this guy will have his mugshot put up on kgov.com on the web.
Right.
For people to check it out there. And Paul wouldn't mind, would he?
No.
We'll put up his
picture.
No, he wouldn't mind. All right, so we're going to do that. And then tell us about the Wall Street Journal. They're coming out on Friday and Saturday here to Denver. They're sending out a reporter to interview you and tell the audience why they want to talk to you.
Well, Ken and I do something that's really distasteful to the abortion industry. We take pictures of the people going into the clinic and out of the clinic,
mm-hmm.
and we post them on the internet on ChristianGallery.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's upsetting Planned Parenthood. We have pictures of all their employees. We have pictures of the abortionists. We have pictures of the people going in and out. They don't like it at all. We're doing it to document what goes on at the abortion clinics. Yeah, this story is also there.
Yeah, there are two reasons I see for doing this. Is one, you're going to discourage some women from getting abortions.
Shame is a very powerful tool.
Shame is great, and many don't tell anyone.
Right.
And they sneak out of work, or they don't tell their family. We know the stories. We've
right.
been doing this forever. And so shame, if they know that their pictures are going to be on the internet, they might not do it. And also, we want to document this. It's as though you were in Germany with the Holocaust.
Exactly.
And you want to document the Auschwitz guards.
That's exactly
and
what
we're doctors,
doing.
And the doctors and the construction workers who are building the gas chambers. You want to document all that. So
that's right.
This is a real good thing to do. Of course, many pro-lifers would condemn you.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, pro-lifers condemn. In fact, Christians in general condemn Christians who are activists.
That's right. In fact, a lady drove up today, parked a car, got out of the car, came over and told me that it was my duty as a Christian to love the abortionist and never say anything negative to him.
Oh, never say
yeah.
anything negative. And like John the Baptist never said anything negative about Herod.
Right. When I tried to correct her, she decided it was time to leave.
Yeah. So. You know what's funny about Christians like that? They say a lot of negative things about us, about you and I.
I know. And they've never been on the street before, but they know exactly how to do it and what to say.
Yeah, about Denver Bible Church. I wonder how many babies that woman who stopped to criticize you has saved in the past week. Now, this past Saturday, when all this was going on with this lunatic, Christopher Smith,
right?
Any baby saved?
Actually, no. We
okay.
thought there was one saved,
oh.
and they came back later. They were afraid of the police cars, the 8 police cars.
Oh,
there.
Really?
Right. And so I got to talk to them later, and there was no talking them out of it.
Mm.
So
that's sad.
Yeah.
And Joe, but I'm glad that you guys are so careful when you document saves, when a baby is really saved.
Right.
It's not just that, you know, going there myself. I used to go 2 or 3 times a week for some years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sadly, 8 holidays a year, the 8 big holidays of the year, we go to the abortionist house. And I get to Planned Parenthood occasionally. But we used to, you'd spot a guy and a woman driving up, and they'd be going to Planned Parenthood, but they'd see us pro-lifers, and they'd pass it,
right?
And they'd go around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd come by, and you see that they're arguing, and they pass it again. They go
right.
around the block 2 or 3 times, then they leave.
Right.
And in my experience, we never counted that as a save because
no.
we don't know enough.
No, we don't ever.
Even though maybe some of those are. They didn't go to that appointment, and they might not ever set up a new appointment.
Right, but we can't count those. Not honestly, we can't.
Right. So when you tell the audience there have been 31 saves at Planned Parenthood in Denver, 20th and Vine, this year, that's the women that you've talked to.
And most of the time stay in touch with them at least for a week or two until they're in full care. They've got all the care they need.
Until they're being cared for.
Right.
And sometimes you stay in touch with them until they have their babies.
And after.
And even after and go to birthday parties.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a hospital when a save was given birth?
Oh, yes. Lots
All right.
of times.
We'll be back and goodbye to Denver. Hey, it's a live commercial break, and I'm going to ask Joe Scott to help me. Joe?
Yes.
When you come to do the show, you're here for the whole thing.
Okay.
Live commercial break, and we've been telling people about our seminars the last couple days, which that people can get them on audio tape. And
yes.
So let me mention a couple of the seminars. You tell us if you've heard, if you've been to any of them.
Okay.
Or if you've heard the material in the Bible studies we do at Denver Bible Church. The Plot Seminar, which is an overview of the whole Bible. Have you?
Fantastic.
Oh,
fantastic.
Joe, come on. How much did my wife pay you to say that?
She didn't. I'm not kidding. I have actually sent that all over the country to my friends to listen to.
Oh.
I have.
I didn't know
and
that.
And I owe somebody a plot, by the way.
A plot manuscript?
Yeah, a manuscript or the seminar, either one.
So some people prefer learning by reading and
right.
others by hearing.
That's right.
And so we make the plot available either in a manuscript at 320 pages or so and in about 5 to 6 hours of audio tapes.
That's right.
And so, Joe, I really didn't know you were going to give such a ringing endorsement, but thank you very much. That's encouraging because that's how this ministry continues. People read the plot, and you know we've had people say, they've written to us, that, Bob, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been reading the Bible, and it's been confusing for 40 years, only if I had gotten this overview 40 years ago.
I hear that from people I've given it to.
Oh, wow.
Then there's
Praise
the tree.
The
tree was wonderful.
The tree.
Predestination is fantastic. Bob, I love them. I give them out to everybody.
Joe, you're too much. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Now, that people could listen to that first, but it's good to do that second.
Yeah.
And that's about living the Christian life.
Right.
But it will blow people's minds.
Yes.
It's so exciting. We offer a money-back guarantee on this stuff because we want people to get it. The seminars are $29.95 for a seminar.
Right.
We charge $450 shipping and handling. And that's at, you know, when I started on radio, we sold copies of the show for $500 plus $295 shipping and handling. Because the only people who were ordering copies of the show were lawyers who wanted to sue us.
That's right.
So we advertised for 2 years, $500 for a tape of the show. And lawyers would get just irate. They say, that's against the law. We say, okay, sue us on that then too. Anyway, okay, so thanks for your endorsement, Joe. And people can call us at 1-888-8-NYART. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And in studio, we have Joe Scott, Mrs. Ken Scott.
That's right.
And the wife of the famous, the truly famous Ken Scott.
That's right.
And Joe, who of the two of you guys, now, I've been arrested for kneeling and praying, sitting at an abortion clinic, and nonviolently using my body and the gravity that acts on it to stop people from going into an abortion mill to kill kids.
Right.
I've been arrested doing that, oh, I don't know how many times, maybe about 10 times or so, a dozen times, in cities around the country, and I've spent about 6 months in jail. How many times has your husband been arrested?
Not sure exactly, 75,
75
something like that.
Times?
Yeah.
It's amazing we actually see him on the streets.
That's going to be true soon, Bob.
Soon. He might be going to jail for how long?
7 months.
7 months. What did he do on that occasion? That's when we go to the abortionist home, his neighborhood, and we protest. In Arapahoe County, we go to the Planned Parenthood abortionist. His name is Edward O'Loughlin. Mm-hmm. We go to his home. What did your husband do to face 7 months in jail?
Preach. He was preaching.
He was preaching. If I remember, he was reading out of the Bible.
Yes, Psalm 91.
I was there that day. He was reading Psalm 91. And so he might go to jail for 7 months.
Right.
You know, if he does, this will be very difficult for me with my jobs, family, ministry. But I would love to go to the abortionist house every day that Ken is in jail, if they put him in jail.
Oh, man. I would love to, too, but I still am on a restraining order. I can't go to the house.
You can't go into the neighborhood.
No.
But you could stand at the entrance to the neighborhood, right?
I can stand at Parker and Iliff.
Parker and Iliff, yeah. Which is the major intersection
right
near the entrance to the neighborhood. Much more traffic there.
Much.
So I don't know that I'll be able to do it, but what I'm hoping is that when he goes to jail, you know, we're newly back on the radio in Denver. I'm hoping we can announce it on the radio and get a few people, each person to say, hey, I'll take Mondays, I'll take Tuesdays, I'll take Wednesdays, and get at least 3 to 4 people there each day, maybe 5 or 10.
Oh,
and
wow,
so as long as
fantastic.
Ken is in jail, we're at the abortionist house. And then Ken, he'll be thrilled.
Ken will be, you won't be able to shut him up then. He'd be so happy.
I know he will. And I want to let Ken know that, you know, he won't be forgotten in jail and he's appreciated. So that's what I want to do. Now, whether I can pull it off,
that'd be difficult, but it would be wonderful.
It would be hard.
Yeah.
So we'll see. When is it possible that he might go to jail?
Any day. We don't know. His case has just gone to – it's been denied in the District Court of Appeals. So now it's going to the state Supreme Court. Mm. And, I mean –
It costs a lot of money to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Would he give up at that point?
I don't know. I don't know as of right now.
You know, when you go to the U.S. Supreme Court, even if you're going pro se, which you can do –
Yeah.
Very difficult. But you can't just write your brief and send it to them. You can't just type it on your computer. You have to have it written up and then send it to a special printer. There's only one printing house in the country that can print the papers that the U.S. Supreme Court will read. And they charge, if I remember, around $5,000 or something like that.
Unbelievable
to print
amount.
The brief.
Right.
Which is hysterical.
Well,
but
that's
anyway.
I heard the presses are made of gold, Bob.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they must be.
Yeah, right. So, okay. So anyway, now, how many times have you been arrested?
I've been arrested over 100 times.
Over 100 times? What's with the security we have around here? Why did they let you into the studio? Man, did you go through a metal detector?
Hey, you know what's really odd is I used to fly all over the country, even though I'd been arrested and jailed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I married Ken, at that point, I could never check my luggage at the curb again.
Why is that?
It was such an inconvenience.
Because of him?
Well, they
flag him somehow.
I guess they figured Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know.
Right.
After that, there's no more curbs for me.
Okay. So, Joe, the 31 babies that are saved so far this year at one abortion clinic here in Denver, thanks to the Christian pro-lifers who are there.
That's right.
Other Christians condemn those who get out on the streets and try to stop right at the point. Sometimes we think of it as at the gates of hell. Right at the gates of hell, they're going to sacrifice children to their god of convenience.
Yes.
Pretty much that's why women get abortions.
Right.
Right, for convenience?
That's pretty much it.
That's the main reason. There are some other reasons.
Some young girls are fearful, but convenience is overwhelmingly the excuse that we hear.
Yeah, the reason of choice for killing your baby is convenience.
Not ready.
Yeah, the baby is going to interfere in my life.
Right.
And this only costs, what does it cost now for Planned Parenthood to kill a baby?
First trimester, $410.
$410. When I started there, protesting there, rescuing there, it was $280 or something back in the late 80s. So now it's $410. How many abortions do they do at Planned Parenthood in a day, a week?
A week, about 100.
About 100 a week.
Lately.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's about $40,000 a week.
Right.
And how long does the abortion take, the actual procedure with the abortionist?
10 to 15 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes for $400.
Right.
And he goes through, if he has...
If that long.
I've heard abortionists say it's even shorter.
It is. It can be, you know.
It can be longer.
He's got to read a chart. Yeah.
Right. But I've heard usually they're done in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he'll do quite a few on a Saturday. How many babies are killed on a Saturday? Is that their big day?
Sometimes it is. This week, last week and this week, it's been Wednesdays. They've been just horrible.
Wednesdays.
Yeah, and 30 people on Wednesday.
Planned Parenthood knows that there are more pro-lifers there on Saturdays, so they might encourage women to come during the week if they can.
I think they do the scheduling more according to the abortionist schedule.
The abortionist schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and then if he can do 30 abortions and he's not there for 10 hours.
No, that's true. He's
there for a few hours.
Yeah.
So they do them pretty quickly. And they actually, if an OBGYN delivers a baby, he might make more money, but it's a 9-month, 6-month, 4-month process with repeated visits and go in the middle of the night. This abortion is one of the most lucrative medical practices in the country, and it's the most common.
And most unregulated.
It's the most common surgical procedure in the
That's
U.S.
Right.
Invasive surgical procedure. It's unregulated. It's, well, not completely, but it's the most unregulated. Planned Parenthood, they don't accept checks.
No, they don't. Just cash.
It's unbelievable. They take cash. Now, they will take credit cards, I think.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Take only cash.
Back in the late 80s, when we checked, in early 90s, I think they took credit cards.
Well,
but cash.
Yeah.
They take cash. And their clients often want to pay cash because they don't want
records.
A record. They don't want their husband to see, or their father or mother to see, some kind of record, financial record, that they killed their baby. So there's shame. And we used to call the IRS to say, hey, Planned Parenthood, we have evidence that they're not reporting their income because it's a mostly cash business. And we produced their banking receipts. Sometimes, you know, we get people on the inside at this Colorado State Department of Health that helped us, at Planned Parenthood that helped us. And we gave them their banking deposit slips for a few months.
That's right.
And it was obvious they were not reporting their income. And you think the IRS did anything about it?
Do you think they will or ever would? Never.
No. Right, because they're pro-aborts.
Right.
Because they kill children, and so they have this extraordinary treatment from the government at all levels. It really is astounding. So I'm trying to help people imagine, to picture what goes on, what pro-lifers are doing at abortion mills, because we've done this occasionally for 10 years on the air, and people in different cities have listened, and some of them now go to their local abortion mills, and they're saving babies at cities around the country.
That's right.
So we want to encourage, how does a Christian, if he thinks, you know, I've never really thought much about the baby in the womb and Planned Parenthood and other abortionists, they're killing the baby. So if let's say a 14-week-old baby in the womb, 12-week-old baby, would Planned Parenthood kill that baby?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, for $410. A 12-week-old baby, is he old enough to suck his thumb?
Yes.
He has been sucking his thumb.
An 8-week-old baby is old enough to suck his
8 weeks old, a baby sucking his thumb, playing with his toes.
That's right.
If they're twins, they're grabbing each other.
Right.
And Planned Parenthood will go in with a suction tube and rip that baby, literally rip his arms off.
Right.
And he's not going to suck his thumb any longer. So after this break, Joe, I want to ask you, how does a Christian get involved?
Okay.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
All right. Out in our studio audience, we have somebody with controlled burn media. And I just got the first draft of the Live from Las Vegas video where we debated a never-ending stream of people on the convention floor. And I want to know, is the time code burned onto this? Oh, good, because that's very helpful. That's great. Okay, so I can't wait to see this, Joe. We'll see how the debates went in Vegas, and then we'll – and we've got so many orders already, and people call in and say, I want that video.
Great.
And so we put it on back order.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, people, you know, people – they're buying them now, and we hope to have them done within a month or so. Okay. So the baby's in the womb. The baby's sleeping. When it's tired, it wakes up. In fact, when the baby sleeps, they dream.
Yeah.
They dream in the womb. We're saving babies after they're born, preemies, younger and younger, smaller and smaller. What's the smallest baby that has lived?
I think it's 20 weeks now.
20 weeks old, which in Boulder, Colorado, the abortionist there, Warren Hearn, he has ads in the Yellow Pages that he kills babies through 25 weeks.
That's right.
25 weeks. So obviously we know if a 20-week-old baby comes out a preemie and you pinch the baby, he's going to cry.
That's right.
He's going to cry. And he's going to love his mother and recognize her voice and maybe even the dad's voice. Maybe.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, and recognize songs that mom sang to the baby while she was pregnant.
Didn't Zachary recognize your song?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. We sang for 5 months, and Jesus loves me. And when he was born, so after he was born, I started to sing that song, and boy, did his eyes open wide. And he was about a day old, and he just loved that song. And, you know, we sing that to them almost every night, along with the whole wide world, our two-year-old Michael. Yeah. We put him to bed, and he says, oh, wide world, wide world, wide world. So we sing those songs to them and create traditions for our kids. Well, kids in the womb learn these things. We know from secular scientists that have researched this.
That's right.
So obviously it's a little baby, and if you pinch it, it will cry because it hurts. Planned Parenthood goes into these babies first trimester and beyond, and they rip their arms and legs off. They're brutal murderers. So a Christian who finds out about this and sees that God in the Bible says that you're to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, and that doesn't mean be apathetic. If innocent people are being killed and a Christian says, well, it's not my fault.
Or says God loves you and that's it.
God loves you and that's it.
Yeah.
Like be warmed and be filled and don't do anything.
Right.
Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, he was talking to Israel, and the Mosaic Law had a lot to do with that. We Christians are saved by grace, but that doesn't mean we should be apathetic toward a child who's being murdered in our town.
That's right, and I don't understand the mentality of the people that can come up to me and tell me that I'm not being loving.
You know why they do here's why they do it. Because they have to put you down. Because if you're showing Christian love to children being slaughtered and women who are about to become murderers of their own children, if what you're doing is Christian love, then they're not doing enough.
That's right. That's a conviction, a huge conviction to Christians that believe you should just love
everything.
Just pray. Just pray.
Just pray. And they say, oh, I'm not led. And they're talking about the lead that's in their seat.
That's right. Yeah, I say you just, are leaded.
Yeah.
You know?
Just pray. And Jesus, he really gets on people who just pray.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the real world. And you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And children, not that everyone needs to go to an abortion mill, but no one has a pass from God to be apathetic or to do nothing.
That's right.
Because he says it in the Bible, if innocent people are being killed in your community, he holds the whole community responsible.
Not only that, Bob, Christians actually send their kids to public school so that they can be educated to kill their children. And then they come and tell me that I'm not loving.
Yeah,
and they're educating their kids to murder.
To kill,
And pervert
And Christian girls who go to public high schools have sex. They get pregnant. They go to Planned Parenthood during the school hours where the school nurse or the counselor takes them.
Saw it this week.
So that, what?
We saw it this week.
What?
A girl coming from school with her counselor. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you know what else we
and
see?
And the parents don't know.
No.
They can't give the girl an aspirin without the parents' permission, but the school will arrange for the girl to get an operation to kill her baby without the parents knowing.
Right.
That she's getting an operation.
Then we see cars with the Christian fishes on the back.
Oh, plenty of Christians getting abortions, right?
Plenty.
So if some Christian is listening to this and say, well, I never did anything to try to save a baby, the different things they can do is, for one, learn, get involved, find out what the Bible says about killing babies in the womb and about how God holds people accountable. And if the innocent are being murdered, God expects us to rescue them, he says.
Right. It's not a suggestion. It's a command.
Yeah. In Proverbs, don't stand back and watch them die.
Yeah. Speak
Pretty
out
strong.
For those that are being led unjustly to the slaughter.
Right. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of stuff like that. That's what it means to love your neighbor. So if a Christian wants to do something, you learn, you get educated, you go to pro-life websites, go to kgov.com and click on our gallery, and we'll point you to some excellent pro-life sites.
That's right.
And then someone who's a bit more courageous, and you could pray and ask God for courage, can go into the Yellow Pages and look on the first page. And what will they find on page one of the Yellow Pages?
Abortion.
Page one.
Abortion alternatives.
Abortion
is the first one. And then
abortion alternatives and then abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And they could find out crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life groups, and they could find out where their local Planned Parenthood is abortion mill. And they could go there on Saturday morning and have a sign or don't have any sign, just go and see what happens. And if it's a woman, she could call up and make an appointment and make a bogus appointment and find out what time they're killing babies. And exactly what day, and they normally do on Saturday mornings, right?
Yeah.
Most clinics,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because people don't work on Saturdays.
And what percentage of abortion mills would you say have pro-lifers at them on a regular basis?
Oh, wow. Not a very large percent, Bob.
What would you guess?
30?
30%, so about a third.
Right.
So, and at the ones where if a baby's scheduled to be killed by an abortionist in America, one of his only hopes is if it's at an abortion mill where there are Christians, because there will be Christians trying to stop his mother at that last moment.
That's right.
And we don't know the numbers nationwide, but we know it's many thousands of babies have been saved. And when you save the baby, that means you save the mother from becoming a murderer.
Right, and from hardening her heart to her own children later on. Maybe
and toward
from,
God.
And towards, especially towards God.
Right, murderers have hardened hearts. And especially the worst murderer is the one who kills her own children. That's the worst. You can't get worse than that.
I don't think so.
No, and it hardens women's hearts. And boy, does it harden their hearts.
Yes.
I remember being with Colorado Right to Life, which is one of the better Right to Life groups in the country. Some of the Right to Life groups are
pretty poor.
Rather pro-choice.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. Believe it or not.
They'll endorse pro-choice candidates.
They're amazing. They're pro-choice. Yeah. I've seen National Right to Life endorse pro-choice legislation when nobody was urging them to. They just come out and endorse pro-choice legislation. Just blows my mind.
Right.
But anyway, they just wanted to compromise on something, and so they found some pro-choice legislation, and they supported it. But anyway, Colorado Right to Life, I helped them man a booth at a large event in Colorado, hundreds of thousands of people. And all we had were pictures of the unborn baby in the womb from Time Life. You know those Life magazine, those beautiful pictures?
Yes, they are beautiful.
A significant percentage of the women who came by, we didn't have any abortion stuff at all, just the pictures of the baby in the womb, which when Life magazine published those back in the 60s, was it?
Yes.
60s, right? Yes. People were in awe at these little babies in the womb sucking their thumbs and their cute faces on them and how precious they were. A huge percentage of the women coming by scowled. They'd use the F word at us. They'd get angry. They'd give us the international pro-choice symbol. You know what that is?
Yeah.
The symbol, the extended middle finger.
The IQ.
The IQ. Yeah. They do it as they're driving by the abortion mill to us. And we call that the migrating birds.
Right.
But it's the international pro-choice symbol because we've done this in Israel and in New Zealand. And wherever you go around the world, the pro-aborts use the same symbol. They must teach it to one another. And anyway, so many women hated those pictures of little babies. How could they, sad. How could they hate those pictures?
They hate God. They hate his image. That's all I can think of. They just, I see it all the time.
Their hearts have been hardened against babies. So in America, the hearts of the women have been turned cold against children.
That's right.
That's when you kill 40 million babies, each one associated with a mom, you got a lot of pain and a lot of hatred and hardening of the hearts. And so what a place for Christian ministry. Do women become Christians ever? Do any of these women get saved
that
you meet at the abortion mills?
Yes, but not a very high percentage of them.
No.
It's just like society, you know, when you're witnessing door to door.
Like when you witness the homos, most don't get saved.
No.
But some of these women get saved.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and even some abortion mill workers occasionally get saved by pro-lifers.
Yes.
That's a small percentage, true. Right. But Norma McCorvey, right?
Yeah.
Roe v. Wade, the Roe of Roe v. Wade.
She became a Christian.
Got saved and became a pro-lifer. Mm-hmm. And so did the other decision gave by the U.S. Supreme Court that same day, Doe v. Bolton.
Yeah, Susan Bolton.
Susan Bolton
mm-hmm.
became a Christian also.
That's right. That's right. I think that when the women will be really honest with themselves and come to grips with what they've done, they are truly in search of forgiveness. And the only place they're going to get that is with Christ. This is the only place. Mm. I can't comfort them. No one can.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you and to your husband, Ken Scott, Joe Scott, for being out there every day, all over the country, fighting the child killers. Thank you for doing that, for standing up for the gospel. Your husband's following this biker lunatic for 8 blocks, telling him to believe in Jesus Christ.
Repent.
Repent. Hell is real. How did I know Ken would say that?
Yeah.
Hell is real. You know what I like to tell these people? There ain't no drugs in hell, buddy. What are you going to do for eternity?
That's what Ken does.
There are no drugs in hell. What are you going to do?
That's what Ken says.
And there's no strip joints. There's no pot in hell, you pothead. What are you going to do forever?
They just yell back they don't believe in hell.
And it doesn't matter. And they can't get high, so it's going to be bad. Yeah. Joe, thank you. This is Bob Benyard reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. The consequences.